Welcome to this week's episode of the Modern Mentor Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Cook. In today's episode, I'll be talking about how to manage a situation in which you're being blamed for something that wasn't your fault. How can you defend yourself without being labeled defensive? One more thing before I get to the main event. Author Irshad Manji, featured in episode 612 of this podcast, gives a quick and thoughtful reply to another question about how to get diversity right in the workplace. This week I asked her, what are some ways to solicit ideas and opinions from diverse groups without leaving anyone feeling like a token representative?
To ensure that people don't feel like tokens, avoid labeling them in the first place, even in your own head. Nobody is just black, or just a woman, or just queer, or even just a straight white guy. Every human being is so much more than meets the eye, because each of us has a backstory. So even when somebody articulates their opinion, dig deeper. How did you come to that opinion? Is it personal experience? It is? Great. Can you tell me more? Or is it something you study on your own? Interesting. Will you share a highlight or two from the research you've done? Asking authentic questions, and of course, listening to the answers, are the hallmarks of respect, because you're re-spectating. You're looking again. And the more layers that you are empowering people to express about themselves, the more they'll feel that you've seen their integrity, their wholeness, and not merely their superficial differences.
And now for the show. Something went wrong at work, and fingers are pointing at you. You know it wasn't your fault. So do you stand up and defend yourself at the risk of being labeled defensive? The answer is yes. And today I'll be talking about what distinguishes defending from defensive, and how to stand up for yourself when the moment commands it. Let's start with the difference between defending yourself and being defensive. The line between defending and defensive can be blurry. Three core characteristics distinguish being defensive from defending. The first is reaction versus response. When an accusation is made against you, your body's fight or flight stress response kicks in. Your instinct to self-protect may trigger an emotional response because you're human. But emotional reactivity is one of the cornerstones of being defensive. When you react emotionally, you're running on instinct, not rational thought. Now, contrast that with a response. A response doesn't happen in the moment. It comes later. Instead of reacting with a quick burst of emotion, recognize the emotions as they come up, but resist the urge to act on them until you've had time to reflect. Second, blame versus ownership. When you allow emotion to drive, your natural tendency is to shed and redirect the blame. It's sort of a grown-up version of, I didn't do it, she did. But deflecting blame is being defensive. While you may not be to blame for the outcome, is there something you can take ownership of? Was there something in hindsight you might have been able to influence or prevent? And third, protection versus reflection. A defensive person is motivated primarily by self-protection. A person defending is motivated by understanding and dissecting the situation. Communicating your defense in a way that demonstrates your willingness to listen, learn, and be part of the solution going forward is a powerful way to show that you're open and interested in solving problems. Now let's talk about how you can defend yourself without being defensive. Let's imagine a scenario. You're an account manager whose job is to support customers once they've purchased your product. Your performance relies on contract renewals. One of your biggest customers has just announced they won't be renewing. It's a big loss for the company, and fingers are pointing at you. Maybe your boss said something like, "I'm disappointed in your work. This client was extremely valuable to us, and now we're not going to achieve our targets for the month." Or maybe the accusation hasn't been stated out loud, but it feels presumed. In either case, what do you do? You need a three-part plan. And the first part is reflect on what happened. This may feel like the moment when a driver cuts you off on the highway, The temptation to scream may be strong. But take a breath. Your physiological response will subside. Your thoughtful defense begins here. Start by asking yourself some personal reflection questions. What are the facts of what happened? What role did I play? Was there any moment in hindsight when I could or should have noticed something was going off track? Was I paying enough attention to key indicators along the way? Did I learn something about my company's product or service that needs to be improved upon? Your answers to these questions are for you alone, so be brutally honest in your self-assessment. Part 2, plan your conversation. You've reflected, you've identified insights, learnings, and even some things you might do differently in the future. Now it's time to plan the conversation with your boss or whomever has placed the blame on you. A few things to keep in mind. Start with empathy. What state of mind will the other person be in? Are they under pressure to perform or maybe even fearful for their job? Be prepared for whatever anxiety or assumptions they may bring to the conversation and respect whatever they're experiencing. Then schedule the meeting. If you have the opportunity, do it proactively. Don't wait for the request to come. Send a short note stating that you're aware of the seriousness of the situation and you'd like to dissect what happened to ensure future customer conversations are handled more effectively. Next, plot out your talking points. Don't script yourself. You'll want your conversation to feel authentic, but do go in with a set of points to communicate and maybe some questions to ask. Showing up with confidence and a plan will demonstrate your accountability to your boss. And now, step 3 of your plan, communicate openly. You've planned and prepared. Now you want to facilitate a conversation that shows off your hard work. Your efforts here will help you defend your position without being defensive. Here's a roadmap you can use for that conversation. First, kick off with purpose. Begin by setting an intention. Let your boss know what you're looking to accomplish in this discussion. You'd like to establish a shared understanding of what happened, extract any insights and lessons learned, establish a plan for managing differently next time, and capture any of her feedback. Next, present a factual account of what happened. State what happened and stick to the facts. This is not about emotion or accusation. A defensive approach might be saying John's analysis was wrong. His bad data is the cause of this. But a factual account is saying something like, in preparing for the renewal call, I reviewed the analysis John's team did, and I drew this conclusion. If John's data was wrong, that truth will emerge without you needing to leverage an accusation. Let the truth unfold through reflective dialogue instead. Next, invite additional details. Remember, much of your job in this conversation is to listen with empathy. It's a great way to demonstrate you're not defensive. So here you might pause and ask what you might have missed. You've only seen this situation from your perspective. By stating your case and inviting additional details, you've told a story in defense of yourself, but you've also demonstrated a willingness to listen. This small distinction can have a big impact on how you're perceived. Next, focus on reflection, on learning. One powerful way to avoid sounding defensive is to demonstrate that you've reflected on what happened and you're focused on learning from the failed outcome, which is not the same thing as admitting failure or fault. Let's imagine that John's data was indeed flawed, and let's look at two different responses. A defensive response might be, "This wasn't my fault. John caused this issue with his poor analysis." But a learning-focused response might be, "I've been reflecting on what happened. I think in hindsight, I could have taken a closer look at the data from John's team. I might have caught the issue sooner." Instead of blaming John directly, this approach highlights where the problem occurred, but it also positions you as a thoughtful problem solver versus someone just being defensive. Remember, taking ownership of a piece of the outcome is not the same as taking the blame. Next, invite feedback. Now it's your turn to pause and invite your boss to offer you feedback. Again, this isn't about blame, it's about learning. And just about the most undefensive thing a person can do is ask for feedback. It's grown up, it's gracious, and it demonstrates personal leadership. And finally, plan a path forward. Reflecting on the facts, the learning, and the feedback, what specific actions will you commit to moving forward to ensure a different outcome next time? Could a monthly meeting with John's team to review their analyses in progress help you catch errors proactively? Or what about more regular check-ins with customers at risk? Taking the lead on turning this situation into a true learning opportunity is an amazing way to show your commitment to problem solving over shifting blame. I hope the next time you feel the need to defend, this simple roadmap serves you well. Do you have a question I can answer? Send it my way. Check out all the links in my bio for the ways you can reach me. You can also check out my website at leadabovenoise.com or follow me on the Modern Mentor podcast page on LinkedIn, where I post exclusive videos, thoughts, and ideas, and you'll even find a picture of Ruthie. Join me next week for another great episode. Until then, thanks so much for listening and have a successful week.